The names of the interviewers are Billy Hine and Danielle Moynihan. Supporting this interview is Sharon Rappaport. The name of the interviewee is Gladys Saunders. Could I ask you to spell this, please?
Yes. Saunders, you want to, it's S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S.
Thank you. The interviewers are for the grandchildren of the Blitz Project. The place of the interview is London Bubble. The date is the 15th of October. The name of the project is Grandchildren of the Blitz. Gladys, can I ask you for the place and the date of your birth?
Yes, I was born the 12th of September 1924. That's a long time ago, isn't it? And I was born in the Southwark area. I think I was actually born in there's a hospital at Denmark Hill, I forgot the name of it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And I've been living in the Southwark area for all that time.
Okay. Could you tell me a little bit about the war?
The war? Well, I had more or less just started work when the war had begun. I was sent away. My mum and dad sent me away. And I was only away the one day, and the next day the war started. So they came down and asked the lady and man where I was, if they would take me in. And then they went back home and I was there. So because I'd only just started work, it was right out in the country, and the old man I lived and his wife I was living with said, well, you'll have to go to work. So they were farmers, and I went in a big field, and there was these big long rows of potatoes growing, and they were to move the earth, and I had to walk through with a sack between my legs, walking along, bending over, picking up potatoes and throwing them in a big sack. And I worked. I came home for dinner, but I had to go back, and I had, you know, the big penny I gave you, I had three of those and what they call 3/4 of a penny an hour. Every hour, and that's all I got. And then a few weeks later, I had to go and pick runner beans, and that was in the field. I never been out in the country like that before, like you go away now. And then I had to go to cycle to a big town called Whitney, where they make blankets. And I worked in a big factory making soldiers and sailors and airmen's hats. We had to put the eyelet, what they call eyelet holes, in the side where they could put their badges. And then sometimes we made big hats for the Russians, which were fur with a little bow on top that they used to pull down and tie under their chin. At that time I used to have to cycle, and now I'd never ridden a bike because London, where I lived, was trams, so I had to cycle. It was 7 miles to work every day, stop there all day and come home. And in the evening, because it was dark, you had a piece of cardboard over your front light on your bicycle with splits cut, so you couldn't really see where you were going anyway, but you had to do that in case the German aeroplanes came over and they saw the lights. So we were cycling 7 miles in the morning and 7 miles in the evening, and you had to work on a Saturday till lunchtime. And then the work I was doing, it was what they called piecework. So you got only so much for all your work you did. And you know, little silver sixpence I showed you, I think I've put it away now. I used to have to do 100 hats for sixpence, and I used to do 1,000 a day. But then I came home in 1940, my mum and dad said that was fine. I came home in about February, the March, but then by the August, one Saturday, my dad came home from work and there was this awful noise and the sky was bright red. They'd started bombing the docks. Now, one of my sisters lived at Surrey Docks where it was they stored wood. And of course, it was going like a big bonfire, bright. And I wanted to go to see if she was all right. And my dad said, no, I'd better go. So he went to see if she was safe, which she was. And then on a Sunday, my friend and I came up to Southwark Bridge. There was a little church we used to go to. Well, it was fairly big then. It was called All Hallows. And we went to church, and as we were coming home, it was just getting dark, the sirens went, and by the time we got home, at the back of my house, there was a big railway arch. We went in there with everybody along the road, as many as could get in, and there was forms to sit on. But in the end, my friend and I just laid on them and went fast asleep. And while we were asleep, some people picked us up and carried us further away, so all the adult people had got more room. But so that went on for lots of nights. And then my dad said, well, you better go back where you were. So nobody had phones those days, and we got the telegram boy to send a message to the lady where I was living and said, would it be right if we came back? And this lady had never met my mum and dad. This was other people I was living with. So we went back, but my two sisters got as far as Oxford, where the big colleges are and the universities, and they couldn't get any further. Because of the bombing, they took all the seats out of the cinema and they had to sleep on the floor all night. And where we were...
I just wanted to ask one question. Why were you sent, actually, to the countryside? Why were you sent to Nazi?
Because my father expected that the war was going to start, and that was the Saturday, and I went on the Sunday, and war was declared. So they came back straight away and then asked the lady and man, they bought me some more clothes, would they take me in where I stayed till 1940? And then everybody was the same, because everywhere was quiet, no bombing. Everybody was coming back, and lots of the children from school, because when I left school, we were told to look after some infants, and we all had to keep a case packed under our bed ready in case we had to go quickly away. So I used to keep a case under the bed with clothes so that if we had to suddenly go, but then that didn't happen that year. That was 1938, but it started the following year. And so that's why I had to stay there, because Mum said it'd be best to stay. But most people and lots of the other younger children came back home because there was nothing happening. But the following year it happened.
And in what school were you at the time before?
I was at, it's along London Road at the Elephant Castle. It was called St George the Martyr. But our big church was up in the borough there by Great Dover Street, isn't it? Pardon?
On Borough Road.
It's the Borough Road and London Road, and there was an obelisk now, and there used to be a clock tower in the middle of the road, and it was just there, my school. We only had a playground on a roof. There were so many factories that the roof was got wire around it. But our playground was on the roof with the boys. They were in a different section, but we could see the boys, but we had to play on a roof. And that school is still there, but it's used by the university, I think it's South Bank, and it's all that area there.
Do
I can only go on now. From 1942, I came home, and
just a second. Let's a bit talk about maybe ask her how was it to be a child in the time.
I had some lovely skates. They were really good skates with big clip-ons and a big fixed back and a lovely big key. They were really good skates. And I was only talking to a lady that we used to play with a ball. We used to be standing and you bounce the ball and you'd say one, two, three, and then you cock your leg over it. One, two, three, O'Leary. My ball's down the airy. And because our houses were basements, they'd call that an area. So I don't know if that was the usual game or was just the name of us playing, that if the ball went, you had to stop. But we just used to cock our leg over. We used to play a game. I know it's dangerous, but it was a... If you've got an old tin, our mums used to put newspaper in it so you wouldn't cut yourself. And there'd be four or five of us, and you'd leave the tin, and one had to stand there, and then you would run away and hide. And the person that was left, we used to call it Tin Can Alley. And we used to hide. And if while that one was looking for you, if looking for somebody, say, over there, somebody would run from here, and you'd have to come back and bang the tin. You'd say, one, two, three. Tin can copper, that's what it was called. And it was fun. We had lots of... And then the old-fashioned lamp posts used to have a bar sticking, and they had gas lights. And we used to come up to the Borough Market and get some long cord, what they used to wrap round. When they sent the oranges, they used to be in big wooden boxes. And this was, I forget what it was called, it was like sisal, what they have now. They used to be, so we used to get it off the car, off the wooden boxes and tie it together, and it used to be very long. So when you got to the lamppost, you'd throw it over, like, and again, so that it was tight, and then you'd bring it down and tie it in a knot, and then you'd sit on it, and you'd run around the lamppost to twist it round. And then when you came back the other way, you held the rug and you could be an aeroplane like this. And somebody used to have to look out for a policeman and they would shout out, copper, and we'd run. But when we came back, the policeman was gone. He never grumbled us, but he'd cut our rope in pieces. So we didn't care because we'd go back to Borough Market and find some more. So it was fun, it was really fun. And Guy Fawkes night, although it was cold, we always used to take our coats off. And we didn't have much money because I used to get a penny, one of those pennies I've given you, that one. I used to get one for my brother and one for my two big sisters. And then you could buy fireworks, but you've got the halfpenny, haven't you? You could get one cracker jack with that, and you could get two with that, or one penny for a golden rain. It was beautiful. I think you can still get them. You put it in the pot or a milk container, and it would all spray. And that was our Guy Fawkes night. We didn't have big bonfires anywhere because it was in London, but we just had the fireworks cracking all over the street, which that was fun again. Along the Borough High Street, there's a side turning with a church called Trinity Church. And along there, there used to be a little cinema. If you had two of those pennies, you could go in on a Saturday morning, and we used to call it the Tuppenny Rush, and you used to see two good films. And when you went in, the ticket the man gave you, the half, if you looked after it carefully, during the interval, the other half they'd put in a hat and they would pick it out. And you could get, I won a tin of toffees once. So we were sitting in the seats after the interval, eating our toffees out of the tin because we'd won, can't think. We had so many games that are.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How did you feel when you was told that you'd be evacuated? How did you feel? Not very.
It's not very nice because I thought I was just going away for holiday and I cried. I mean, I was 14 and I cried. But they came back the next day and brought my clothes and they kept saying, it's best if you stay. And I used to cry every night because I was on my own. I didn't really know the lady and man. It was only a friend of my dad's. If it was only for the girls I made friendly with now, the girls that lived in the country. And I still write to two girls now, a girl named Audrey, and a girl, they're about the same age, and a girl called Elma. I don't know what I'd done without them because the lady where I lived wasn't very nice to me. And on a Friday, when I got in from work, we only had oil lamps. You didn't have electric or gas even. She just had oil lamps on the table and she used to cook by the fire and then she had a little, what they call a primer stove, which you burn oil in. And I wasn't used to that. And then Friday they'd been in the winter, they picked some flowers and they made little bunches. And they put them in the shoebox, and the lady said to me, "You best take those to work tomorrow and sell them." And I didn't really want to, and there were some men working behind me. They used to iron the hats. Once they were done, they used to press them out for the soldiers. And they used to make fun of me. They used to sing a song. I used to take the violets round in the lunchtime and say, "Will you buy a bunch of..." And it cost two of those, 2 pennies. And the men used to sing a very old song called "Won't You Buy My Pretty..." Instead of saying flowers, they all used to call out violets. And I used to cry when I got back to where I was working because I was lonely and I didn't have any family with me. But somehow that makes you stronger. You know, some people scare you and they make you feel you don't want to look at them anymore. But just brazen it out. Just talk to them. You don't have to ill-treat people or say nasty things. Just talk to them normally. And in the end, you will get the better of it because they know they can't hurt you. And I've done that when I came back in 1942. I had to go to work. And I worked in a big factory on aeroplanes. I was making the big part of a Wellington bomber. I used to be a riveter. And then you heard about the doodle bugs. Is that all right for me to talk about? You know the doodle bugs?
Yeah.
Was living in Croydon then, and there were lots dropping because it was near the coast. And where we were working in this big factory, they had 3 lights on a post every now and again, and there was a white and a blue and a red. And when the white one was on all the time, but when the aeroplanes and the doodlebugs were coming over the coast, the blue light would go on. You still had to carry on working, but keep your eye on the blue light. When the red one came on, you put all your tools down and went in an orderly fashion, like when you're at school, one behind, down into a shelter. And I was home one day, and a doodle bug had dropped just up the road, and I lived in Norbury then. And so I sent my mother back again. We sent a telegram to the lady we were living with. My father took my mum and put her on the train at Paddington. So there was just my dad and I left in the house. And the next night, one fell in the road. And we had a big table in the room like that. It was called a Morrison shelter with an iron mesh around it. And we used to have to sleep in there of a night. But it was tea time and it was daylight. So the siren sounded, and I stood up with my dad, but before we could get in the other room, the engine cut out, and when the engine cut out, it just came down. And I don't remember anything more until it was very dark, and this is precious paper to me. Can you read that bit there? It's only small. That is me. They've put me as 22, but I was 20. And it seemed as if my father said that I dug him out, but I don't remember. All I remember was calling out Daddy. And he used to call me Kid. He never called me Gladys. And I just heard him say, "Over here, Kid." But the next thing, when I come to, there was the man carrying me and my father out, and we had to go to hospital. And when I came out of hospital, they sent my dad to Scotland, all the way from Croydon. He was so badly injured. And then a priest, came in to see me to say, "Have you got anywhere to go?" And I said, "No, I hadn't got a house. I hadn't got any family, I hadn't got any clothes." And a girl I knew, her mum took me in again. But I had to wear her clothes to come out of hospital.
What's feces?
Pardon?
What's feces? Feces.
I can't read that. What's
a
the...
A bit louder.
VCs.
VCs?
V dot C.
What's VC?
It says that you deserve 20.
Oh, Victoria Cross. Sorry.
Oh.
When because they spoke to my dad and he said that I was it brave? I don't know. I deserve 20 VC. But that's because he was badly hurt. All he was saying that he was glad I helped him. But I don't remember. You do things. Whether or not I did it, I don't remember doing it. But who knows? I'm not going to take that I did do it. I can't say I did. But it was nice of him to say that, even so, wasn't it? Because, and I say, then I had to live with somebody else. That was in the July. And my dad never come out of hospital till Christmas. And because I didn't have a house to go to, the local council found us an empty house. So I got my mummy home from Whitney, and they brought my father home from Scotland. And when we went to the council, they found us somebody else's empty house. And we went to the council, and when we went in the house, they gave us 3 cups and saucers, 3 plates, 3 spoons, 3 knives and forks, and just enough teapot. And we had mattresses, but we had to sleep on the floor, and just enough bed linen to keep you going, you know, to change. But that was in an empty house. We didn't have a bed, didn't have anything. And I had to go to work all day. And when I come home, my mum and dad was often sitting there crying. Sorry. It must have been a blow for them. But I'm here, that's the thing. God must have saved us all. I'm proud of my dad for saying that. Whether or not I did, I just don't know. But it's hard times. I wasn't the only one. There was lots and lots of people just like me. Lots of mums and dads and cousins and everybody. You're lucky now because you've got all your family, you've got nice places to go out to. But that's war and it's not very nice. So it's nice to get on with everybody, to let you see all over the world that you can get on together without all these wars. It's not very nice, and I'm glad I've lived through it. I'm glad God brought me through, and with the help of my friends and even the people I've met over the years. I don't know how many times I've moved. I got married and came to where I'm living now. I don't want to move anymore. I've been to so many places where I've had suitcase and you pack it up and you go somewhere else. When I come out of a hospital, I had my legs bandaged in my head, but I had to come home on a tram because they didn't offer to bring you home like you're carried about now. I came home on a tram, paid my fare. It was only a penny, but nevertheless, I come out of hospital. I didn't have anywhere else to go, and if it wasn't for this other man, another man and woman, and my friend, her mum and dad took me, where I don't know where I would have gone, I'm sure. I just don't know. But people are kind, you know. Don't let people get you down. Don't feel you're going to be bullied. If you're, respect them. Don't answer back if, you know, just let them see that they can't do, you don't have to be afraid of being bullied. Because you don't want to have to keep going around like I did. I know it makes you stronger, but you can still be strong in your own school, in your own area. And I love to come back here. I still love London. I was up here back in August. And I know there was all the bombing. And I used to go to school. We used to go to school because up by the borough, there's a school called Orange Street School. I used to have to walk a long way straight from school, home of them on, to go to school to learn how to cook or to learn how to wash. But that was another school. It wasn't my own school. But we all turned up. Nobody stayed away from school. So,
what was it like for the public in general? Was there like a great pulling together of people? Did you all sort of come together? Was it like camaraderie?
I mean, the lady, this friend of mine I was working with, she came home one day and when I was in Whitney and wasn't very happy at this house, and she said to me, would you like to come and live in the town with me? She said, my mum said, if you would write to your mum and ask her, would you like to come and live? And I had a room of my own because her brother was in the army. And he was in Italy, and he was taken a prisoner. And I think her mum missed the company of another, with her dad, and they were so kind to me. They really were, better than where I was in the first place. So, yes, I've seen lots of things, and as I say, I'm not the only one. If there's lots of more people around, the same as me, but it makes you strong. It makes you see other people's ways more. So, is any more?
Do you want to ask Daddy's question?
Could you tell us a bit about how did you feel when they were dropping the bombs?
Well, you were frightened. You could hear them planes coming over, and you just, if you're in the shelter, you just hear. But it's like, I can't explain the feeling, really. There's nothing you can do. You can't run anywhere. You don't run out, do you? You stop where you just do as you're told. If the air raid warden said stay there, you stayed until it was all over. Then you just went about like you're doing now. You're going to school, mums are going out places. Or sometimes it was all night, especially these flying bombs. I didn't get up a couple of nights because I just thought they were aeroplanes on fire. We never realised that they were bombs. The minute that flame went out and the motor, the engine stopped, it would come down. I never thought of that. I just thought they were aeroplanes going by. But when we realised what was happening, then you got up and we went in this. We were still in the house. This one was in the house. You had to scramble in under the netting and just lay there till it, and then get up and go to work or go to school. you still carried on like you're doing now, except when the siren went, you had to go in orderly fashion. You didn't rush, you just went calmly because you never knew who you were be knocking over. You just acted calm and went to your shelter.
Well, did it sound like
the
snowball come around?
Yeah, it, as I say, when that doodlebug dropped, that was dreadful. I can't explain it. One minute I was standing, and the next minute I don't remember anything.
What was the shelters made out of?
All brick. When I was at work, you just went outside. And also in the streets, they used to have like a brick, it used to be look like a long brick garage. But on the side, it used to have EWS. And that was filled with water, and that meant emergency water supply. And they just looked like a brick. You could, they were fairly high. Not, you couldn't get in and drown unless you were misbehaved, no way. But they were filled with water ready in case there were fires or people needed the water. But in the big, what they call communal shelters, they were best because you was lots more people and you could laugh and sing and one thing and another.
Was the water clean to drink?
Oh no, that wouldn't have. That was just for in case there were fires and that. But when we went down the shelters, the family ones, you took water down there, you were a little light, and little beds, there's four, two there and two up the top.
So, how I just wanted to ask one more question.
Pardon?
One more question about the shelters. What would you do? For how long were you usually in the shelters?
Well, it all depended how long. I mean, sometimes the raid would last all night. I mean, when we was at work, it would be two or three times a day you would have to put your tools down. And then sometimes, because I wasn't far from home, I was working with my big sister, and she used to say, well, you cycle home and see if Mum's all right. So in between, before I went back to the work, I used to say to the manager, can I go and see if my mother's all right? And I used to cycle home, this was in Croydon, sit, and then I would come back and go to work.
Whereabouts was your work?
In Croydon, not far from the aerodrome. And we were making big parts of aeroplanes, and I was a riveter with, you know, on a big bench, riveting off the Wellington bomber. And if I could come again, I've got a nice book that they wrote about the factory and my badge, which was a wing with my number on. You had to have a number. And before you could go into work of a morning, there used to be a man on the gate, used to look like an officer, and you couldn't get in unless you wore your badge to let him see you were the right person coming into work. You might have been...
How about if you lost the badge?
Well, you would report it and they would have to get you another one.
Oh.
But if you... He would know us, but sometimes he'd say, you can't come in today, and we used to say, oh, yes we can, you know, I've lost the badge. Yeah, we used to have fun really, but it was work that you had to be careful, you couldn't let anybody come in.
Did they not let you in because of like the German spies and stuff?
Yes, that's right, you had to be, there was a boy working with us, he must have been born over here, but he was an Italian. And when we were doing the aeroplane work, before you put one piece of metal to another, you had to put some brown liquid on it to stop the rust, because it was an aeroplane. And he was working on a part of a Spitfire, and he wasn't putting that stuff on, and he got into trouble because it made it worse for him because he was an Italian. But he was still doing something that was wrong, because that would get rusty, wouldn't it? And if an aeroplane was in the air and got rusted, well, that bit would fall apart, wouldn't it? But that was only because he was an Italian boy that he could have got into more trouble.
Did some people get left out of the shelters when?
Oh yes, I mean, I got reprimanded because I stopped to put my tools in a drawer, and when I come back, the man that they called the foreman to see that you were doing your work every day came and told me off. He said, another time, he said, when you hear the siren, you must drop everything you're doing and run and go to your shelter. Don't stop behind, because we wouldn't like to come back and find that you've been badly hurt. And you had to do, you didn't rush, you see, you went quietly, but as quickly as you could.
How big were the bombs?
I don't know, some of them are pretty big, because where I lived in Southwark, there was a great big block of buildings opposite us, and a big landmine fell on that. That was worse than a big bomb. And they destroyed all that, so I've read in paper, and I've bought some books on Southwark. So they were quite huge, some of them. You could hear the aeroplanes going over of a night, you know, boom, 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 like that. Have you listened? I was in the cinema once when a bomb fell, and the screen just blew out like that, and just like a curtain flapping. But we sat in there because it was silly to go out. You just, if you happened to be caught, you know, you still went and did your things. You've got to live your life normally and do the best you can. But I wouldn't have missed it, although a lot of it was frightening. I still wouldn't have missed it. I'm glad I'm here to prove it. And you can, no matter how badly hurt you are, you've got your family and you've got friends, you can still get along in the world.
Can I just ask you a quick question? I just wonder what you ate. What was your diet like? How was that worked? Like,
pardon?
Rationing. How did that work?
Rationing? Oh, all right. I can't say that I was ever hungry. My mother always used to seem to find the food all right.
How did it work?
Well, you know, you had the only thing that I liked is your clothing book. You could only buy so many clothes, but there was a shop along, you've heard of the Lambeth Walk. If you went along there, there used to be a certain shop. If you wanted a dress, it would cost you 12 coupons out of your book. But if you went to that shop and bought a dress, they would let you, you would buy another one and you didn't need coupons for that. They would let you give you one. So that was what they called part of the black market. Food-wise, I tried to eat some what they called snook. It was whale meat. And that was horrid. It was like you were eating a great big piece of, say, beef, but it was fish. And I did try, because I did like what the Americans sent over, powdered egg. I wish you can buy it now. I have bought it, but it doesn't taste the same as the American one. That used to be nice. When I was working, we met with some proper airmen from the airport, and when I was 21, they came to my house and they brought some food from the canteen for my mother. So we had a little party. You couldn't get cakes or anything because the bread started to be on rationing. But when I opened the door, they made me a big key with RAF Croydon on it and a pair of girls' legs and with a big red ribbon round it and hung it round my neck. I wish I'd have bought that to let you see, because that was fun. But we couldn't get bananas, and I love bananas. Couldn't get that, or oranges. The apples were all right. And where I was evacuated to, the lady had what they call a big russet tree. And I used to call for my friend, and it was her mother's cottage. It was a big thatch cottage, And she used to say, take an apple off the tree. And this time of the year, russets should be coming into the shop soon. And that was just that time of the year when it was a lovely winter's day, you know, even if it was snow on the ground, we still had to cycle. And when you went past the fields, there was what they call mangel wurzels in the fields, all covered in snow, but the men were still working in the fields in the snow. But
what sort of clothes did you wear?
Well, like you do now, I can't remember about shoes, but I haven't got a cloak. But we had to have a card. You had to carry one of those every day with you. You open it, and it's got your name and address. And if you were stopped, you had to tell them your name and address. And where I was working when I was away in the country, I came home one lunchtime, and at the top of the road there was a pillbox, you know, the big stone, and there was two soldiers there, and they weren't going to let us by because we didn't have our card with us, but they eventually did. But everybody had to carry, and that was what you call like your identity card. Not anything more to ask?
I haven't got anything else.
When you must treasure your friendships. Whilst I was away, when I was coming back from the village and the town of Whitney, all the girls got me what you call an autograph book. Look how old it is. And some of the pencil marks, some of the pencil is going. But I wish I could find in there something a manager, where a man I worked. When I was leaving, even that one. Can you see that? Tell me how many of those. What is that, a Y?
A Y.
So you say two Y's.
UK.
Say the letters. Two Y's.
U. B.
No, that's an R. R. Two Y's, U R. Two Y's.
U I.
U B. I C U R two Y's for me. And my manager in the factory where I work put that in there for me, Mr. Lesurf. It's quite good. It's you see?
I'll get a minute.
But you have a look at all the in between it. So, you know, when you, I don't know when somebody scribbled it, and that's right from 1940 I've had that, even in the bombing, because my dad put all my books, and I've still got them now, in two big trunks, and kept them. When we went to Croydon to live, we didn't unpack a lot of things, because it wasn't worth unpacking your clothes. So, you know, you're lucky these days, children. Make the most of what you've got, because life is great and you've got to make of it what you will. I mean, I feel I've come through, and at times you think, oh, it's not very good. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to work. But it's fun to do it. And I mean, if I hadn't have been here, my son, he's a big man now, and he's got a very good job. He works for the Red Cross. So, you know, there's lots in life. Just go for wherever you go. Don't let anybody deter you from what you want to be. Go to school. Because, I mean, years ago, as I say, the war, it was all running down shelters and things. You sort of really couldn't concentrate like you've got the chance now to So it's a great life. Don't spend too much, don't eat too many sweets. And for that, we used to go into a shop and you could buy a halfpenny dip. And the man used to have a big cardboard box with all envelopes in it. And you'd say, can I have a halfpenny dip? And he used to go under the counter, bring the box, and you picked whatever envelope. And when you lifted up the flap, it would tell you, you know, you could do 4 ounces, 8 ounces. Very rarely did you get 8 ounces, but you could get a lot of sweets with a lucky dip.
Can you still spend them or not?
Pardon?
Can you still spend them?
No, but it's nice to keep to show that's the old money. I mean, I forget when that went, about 1963, long before you were born. But, and then we used to have, when it was, you know, Epsom races, near where I lived, the coaches used to come by, and they were old-fashioned coaches, the windows, and we used to stand on the corner, and when they pulled up, we used to shout out, throw out your Mouldies. And a lot of the men used to wind down the windows and throw odd pennies out. So we used to be collecting halfpennies and pennies off the pavement. It was good. When it was Derby Day, we used to say, all us children used to say, let's go up the corner and wait for the coaches to come by. So...
Did you ever have a radio?
Radio, my dad, yes. We had what they call a pie. And you can still see them now on some of the shows. It was a round circle with like a rising sun on it. And that was a pie radio.
Did you listen to the news broadcasts and things about?
They're foreign somewhere. I always remember on the dial there was Hilversum and I can't remember the names now. I used to like Children's Hour. When I used to come in from school in the winter, my mum used to put the radio on and she used to say, before the rest of them come at home, and we used to sit by the fire and listen to the Children's Hour with a fire glowing and a cup of tea and toast. And I used to love that with just my mum and me on our own before my brother and sisters came home. And that was just listening to the radio, Children's Hour. I used to be Uncle Matt and Larry the Lamb, but they were good days. And the comics, I always had boys' comics. I used to have the Rover and a magazine called the Hotspur, and there was comic cuts and a comic called Larks, one with Oliver Hardy in it, and lots and lots of comics.
I would like to know a bit about your family, a bit about brothers and sisters, and how was it to live in this area
before the war?
Yeah. But a bit about, first of all, about your family,
My grandfather lived in the borough. He was a wood turner, architectural designer. His name was Gardner. I wish I'd have bought the little ticket. It was... John Botham Gardner, and the street's not there anymore. They built over it. It was called Bittern Street in the borough. And we only had 3 rooms. We had a front room and a bedroom and a kitchen. And my big brother had to sleep in the front room, and my mum and me and my 2 sisters slept in 1 big bed, 2 at the top and 2 down the bottom. And then my dad had to sleep in the kitchen in a folding up bed. So we were all together all the time. We didn't have a room of our own. So, you know, you are so lucky these days. But, the generation you're born in, you enjoy it. You think, oh, this is the best one. Although it was, and I say, I used to get 3 pennies a week. I was rich, really. We used to buy a sweet called a sugar something. It used to be on a string, and it used to be 3 or 4 lumps looked like glass, but it was sugar, and you could eat it off the string. Ball's ice cream man used to come round on a tricycle, and you could buy what they call a snow fruit. It used to be like a triangle, you know, like a Toblerone, and it was like that in a big blue and white check wrapper, and you just pushed it out from the bottom, and they were all coloured. You could buy a yellow one or a raspberry one. Then the man used to come round selling toffee apples on a little trolley, and he would take it out of it was halfpenny, one of those. But if it got a coloured bit on the bottom of the stick, you didn't have to pay him, which wasn't very often. But that's how we bought our sweet. There was a sweet, there's sweet shops, I know. Used to buy ice cream. There used to be an Italian shop by me. But you used to have to sit in the shop and eat it on a bench. And it used to be on a glass stem. And then the top was a little bowl, not very big. And you could have a penneth of ice cream. But you had to sit in the shop and eat it, lick round the glass. When we used to play, there used to be horse troughs in the road, big stone for the horses, because they were horse and carts. But at one end, there used to be water for us to drink, but it used to be on a great big thick chain. So you could have your drink of water, but it was on a chain. So that was horses and human beings. And then at the bottom, there used to be a place for dogs to drink, but you all drank out of the same big... Like a horse trough. You didn't touch the water, the same as the horses, but it was nice, you know, fun. The park I used to go to was called the jail, and that was where they used to hang prisoners years ago with Charles Dickens, and that's along by, is it Harper Road, along the end of Newington Causeway, where it comes into the Borough High Street. There's a turning called Harper Road, and that used to be, and there's a big court on the corner now, and that used to be where they used to have prisoners in Charles Dickens' time. Any more? I'll keep going on, I'm sorry, but... Any more about the war?
What was it like when you and your friends used to like play games?
Well, so we used to, you don't see skipping now, do you? We used to, and we used to play, you know, two tennis balls. We used to play double ball up the wall, and that's quite hard to do, you do. And then in between you stop, and you throw one round your back while you throw one up and catch the other. You ought to try it, it's fun. And then you got on, the next time you had to throw one through your leg and catch that one as well as the other one coming down. That was it. You ought to try to play double ball.
Did you used to have board games?
Oh, yeah, there's double ball. Well, only really had the war, you see. We didn't have the nearest park to me was Kennington Park. So you really played in the street. I used to play with a tar. When the roads used to have stone blocks, and it used to, and then they changed them and put wooden blocks called tarry blocks. And in the summer, when it was hot, that used to ooze out, and we used to pick it up, and then we used to get all sticky and black. And also the London trees, they're called the plane trees, the skin peels off, the bark peels off, which is good. That's why they chose those trees for London, because they took all the bad air and then the bark would grow again. But you used to find lovely little caterpillars, green ones and lovely big black ones. They were beautiful. You don't see them. You don't see them on the trees now. I never have. But...
during the war, could you watch dogfights? What was that like?
Only in the summer, you know, that first summer when the Blitz started. But other than that, sometimes you just heard the bombers going overnight, and and the searchlight. But my father's got a great big telescope, and it was a night one at the time, and you could actually look at the bombers then. But that's the only short time I saw the dogfights, was like the August when that really started, you know, the Battle of Britain.
Did you ever see anyone bail out?
No, I never saw anything like that. I mean, even in the place where I lived in Whitney, one bomb did drop, but that's because the aeroplane, like you see in the films, he's got a spare bomb and he didn't want to take it back and land with it, so he let it go. But I only remember the one in that town where we lived in Whitney. But coming home that night when the blitz was starting, we were running and the air raid man was saying, quick, go. And we thought, well, we've got to get home first, you know, let our mums know where we were. But we no sooner got in the door than we had to come out and go under the railway arches.
Did you used to have undergrounds? Undergrounds?
No. No, I didn't go down there at all, no, because we were too far. Although we were in Southwark, we were in between, like, the borough and the Elephant and Castle, so the underground station was too far. And once an air raid siren had gone, you had to find your near... Even, you know, you might be down there with strange people because you might be somewhere else. I mean, when this doodlebug dropped, I'd just been and bought... It was a job to get. I'd just been and bought two mudguards for my bicycle that day. And that night we were bombed, I didn't have a bicycle anymore. I didn't have any home, let alone a bicycle. And I'd just bought two nice mudguards for my nice bicycle. And then I didn't have a bicycle anymore. So that was a bit of a blow. We used to go to work. You still had to go out. Even if you're on the bus when the sirens are, you stopped, but you still had to carry on to work because work counted, didn't it? What the work you were doing. One girl was doing the lights for the Spitfires, and another lady was putting all spray on the wing for the aeroplane to preserve it. Ella, you got any more to ask?
What was it like when you was evacuated?
Well, as I said, it wasn't very nice. I didn't know the lady, man. You see lots of children. You didn't know who you were going with. And they'd got another little girl, but I didn't know her, and she was a lot younger than me, but I had to sleep with her. And it's a bit strange when being with people you don't know. It's not like being at home with your mum and dad. Well, you could say, yeah, can I have this? Or you had to wait, you know.
Do you remember your parents telling you something? Sorry. When you were evacuated, when you were sent to that family.
Yes.
Did your parents tell you, you know, how to behave, or did they give you something?
Oh, no. No, I mean, as I say, you couldn't do much of an evening because we only had an oil lamp. It was like a thatched cottage, and you couldn't do anything by... I mean, I suppose 100 years ago they were still doing needlework, but when I used to get home from work of a night, it was always dark because it was the winter then, that you just sat by the fire, you had your evening meal, and that was... you had, because of your rationing, I had a special jar with my sugar in it, and they had a special jar with their sugar in it, so when I didn't have sugar in my tea at the time, so that was handy for them because they had extra sugar. But
you see, if you had a baby, yeah, what did you use to put the baby in that to sleep?
My sister that lived in Bermondsey had a big leather thing to put the baby in if the siren came, and then you had to pump air. We had gas masks, but they had a a big thing to put the baby in, and you pumped air in case there was gas drop. But other than that, you just had your baby in your pram, just like normal. You had to live normal. You can't run away from things because that's life.
Was it really true that the kids' gas masks were shaped as Mickey Mouse?
Well, some of them were. I just had the normal. But you had to always have to take it out with you. You couldn't go anywhere. You see on the film, everybody's got a piece of string in there. So whatever else you had to take your gas mask with you.
When the war stopped, 1945, that's when the Americans, 1945, the war ended completely.
The one in Europe ended in 44, just after, but the May, because where I was living, I was in bed one night, and there was bang, 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 the lady and man that last took me in at the end, and I thought, what's the noise? And when I got up, the houses were close together, and the man next door was banging with his stick on my window. And I opened the window and he said, the war's over. And that was May the 8th, I think. That was the war in Europe. And I was wondering what this knocking was. And I opened the door. And then that day, I forget what day it was. But the girl that lived there and me, we went up to London. And we went into Piccadilly, and there was thousands and thousands of people, and everybody was singing and dancing. And we stopped there, and when we came home on a tram in the evening, some people had taken some wood and made a bonfire. So we were dancing around the bonfire at night. And that was good then, that was good. I mean, the bit of the war was still going on with the Japan, but at least that was the European war was more or less finished, yes.
How did you feel when the war was over?
Well, great, because you thought, well, we'd start to, well, I don't know. You didn't have any fear of bombs, that's the main bit. That's what I think most people, you knew it's got to really what they call unwind. It didn't just stop like that, there were still little, what they call pockets happening. But at least you didn't have any more worries. You didn't have to worry about being bombed or, and the food was still not very good. You know, we didn't have many sweets, didn't have much bread. But I'm here, I'm not bad, am I? And not the only one, so our mums did look after us properly. Even if there wasn't enough food, we've all got through it. Or you wouldn't be here today, would you? Or your grandparents.
You know, when you were younger, did they used to have medicine?
Yes, but it wasn't very nice. You used to have to go to the doctor, you used to have to pay a shilling. If you couldn't go to school, my mum used to have to go to the doctor and get what they call a certificate, which cost a shilling. It'd be 12 of them, and then take to the school to say, Gladys is not well today, she can't come to school. So you had to let the school know that you wouldn't be going, because there used to be what they call a school board attendance. And if you too many days off from school, he would come round and knock and say, why aren't you at school? And want to know why you weren't at school.
Gladys, can I just ask, when you and your father were hit by the bomb, where was your house then? What road?
We were living at number 127 Norbury Crescent, and that's Norbury. It's just the other side of Streatham. And I mean, this house, because so many people would left their private houses empty, that's what happened. The council would find empty houses, so that when we come out, I come out of hospital, and then I was living with a friend, but when my father was eventually said he was coming out, was right from the July till the Christmas, a couple of weeks before Christmas he came, they sent him down from Scotland. My eldest sister went to the council and they said, well, there's a house, it was at the back of West Croydon Station somewhere, and it was just empty, and that's all they gave us to go into. It was empty, we just had a TV, you know, it's...
So Norbury Crescent was the house that you went after?
Yes,
that.
Number one, no, before that, that's
before
the
that
one
house.
I got bombed from.
Okay.
And we were right by a railway then, so... But I want to go back there, I mean, it, half of it was gone, so, and we were on a corner, which didn't help, and I'd got a little case, and you used to keep your precious things in it. I'd got some underwear that they'd made from parachute silk, but I'd got a little necklace and my little private, and somebody stole that. He took it from what was left of the house, mind you. It's a nasty thing to do, but there we go. It's life. You can't get away from life, can you? But you go through it, don't you? You have to fight your way through it. In your mind, I mean, not that sort of fighting, but be strong.
How much was the jewellery?
Well, I don't know, because one of my sisters had bought it. It was a little gold locket, and I had a photograph of my mum and dad in it. So that meant a lot to me. I don't know how much it was, but I'd got lots of little lucky charms. I'd got a little Mickey Mouse and lots of little odds and ends. And I say my friends, because I made friends before the war, I never saw them anymore. And that's not very nice. It's different if you move away for your own reasons. But I often wonder where they are, because we all used to meet and play. And suddenly, we've not moved away, we've been made to go away. And friends are precious, aren't they? You know, you might move, and okay, sometimes you write to them. But to suddenly go away and never see them anymore, I just wonder where they all are. Are they alive? Have some of the boys had to go in the army? Are they still alive? I don't know. And that's a lot to think of in life. You make friends, because you need friends. Even if you don't see them after a while, you think of them, you might write or you don't, but I can still see all my friends in my mind. And I think at times I wonder where they are. But there we go. Have you answered all the questions?
Yep.
Do you like your penny? Don't spend it all at once. You had two of them to make that one. So sometimes in change you'd get two of them, but you would still be getting the worth of that. Oh, well. Well, it's been interesting for me. I hope it has been for you. Has it been fun? Have I?
Is there anything else that you would like?
That's it.
Anything you can think of without looking at them?
Was every building made out of brick?
Oh, yes, yes. Unless it was the old, well, where I was in London, you know, it's London, it's all brick. I mean, where I was evacuated, so it was all the little thatched cottages. It was pretty to look at, but not very nice to live in. It was always sort of dark. But we played in the street. I'll tell you what, say six of those are six pennies. At holiday times, you could buy a ticket on a tram for sixpence, so it'd be six of those, and you could use it all day. You didn't have to pay. You could go on a tram and have a ride up so far and get on the tram and come back, and you didn't have to pay because you'd already got the 6 months for all day. That was great. Go out for the...
Can I get a few pictures of that?
Yeah, well...
Just the story. I'll just grab that camera there. I'll do it in a minute if you want
to know.
Sorry.
Oh, there it is. It's just that bit.
Alright, I'll just put a garnet camera to the battery.
Oh, what's it?
It's okay, I might.
Yeah, let's finish the interview and then we'll go.
Yeah.
And thank you for your time.
Thank you, and it's nice to meet you. And I hope you go out and good children. Study hard. And have fun at school. Have fun at school. Don't worry about bullying. You're as good as the next one, whatever. They're only doing it because they're afraid themselves half the time. You don't know how to get on with people. But you think, I've known so many people, been so many different houses, and unless I was trying to be friendly, I would have been more unhappy. I only cried because I missed my mum and dad. But other than that, I've made lots of friends. People I will never see again, but they help you through life. Meeting different people makes you think about things in life myself and make you decide what you would like to be like and how your attitude to your life is. It's a great life, you've got it all before you. Make the most of it, children. Do. I'm pleased to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me.